his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I love that. I've always read verse 24, by his stripes we are healed. But I like verse 24 as well, 25, for you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer or bishop of your souls. Glory to God. And then Psalm, very familiar passage, 23 verses 1 through 5. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, come on, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Hallelujah. And my cup overflows. I like verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. But I like verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Today your enemy is sickness, and he's preparing a table of healing in the midst of sickness. The series is called Jehovah Rapha. Today's message in our late service: healing today is mine. Can the church say amen?
Amen?
Father, I thank you for the use of your spirit for handling this lump of clay and speaking through these lips as an oracle. I give you praise for all that you're doing. Keep me focused. Keep your people attentive. I pray now that revelation knowledge will flow freely to feed your people, unhindered, uninterrupted by any satanic or demonic force. I decrease that you would increase now. Have your way in every life. First to the hearer, the ear of the hearer, to the mind that comprehends, the heart that is receptive to receive, the spirit that will contain. And we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands and give him the glory. I don't have my confession of faith up, but can we do it? I ask you all to get ready for it. Where are you? Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here. Up in here. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me act the fool up in here. Y'all gonna make me lose my cool up in here, up in here. Ah. Y'all ready? This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I choose to agree with the Word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed. My heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. There is too much life in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Your confession of faith. That was pretty good. We're going to get to a point where we can memorize it. How many of you going with me? That we can memorize it. Healing today is mine. If I could add to that, it would be healing today is my portion. It's my portion. Say it's my portion. Thank you, Lord. I was hit last week. I didn't feel well, and I don't like to glorify that, but it happens to all of us, right? I get inoculated every year, flu virus, shingles every 5 years. I do all of that. When I started traveling internationally, I make sure I'm up on my immunization shots because you don't want to get in a foreign country and don't have that. I've had many friends who've gone to foreign countries and they get tied up or caught up with some type of virus, and it becomes very serious. And so it's good to think about hepatitis B shots and all kinds of things, and your local pharmacy can help you with that. If you go to them, they'll tell you what you should have. If you have your record on file, they'll be able to help you. You used to have to go to the health department to get that done. But you want to make that happen if you're going to travel anywhere outside of the U.S. And if you don't like America, you travel and visit another nation, and you'll understand that there are things here that's just not another nation. Another thing that happens when you come into the U.S. airport or any port that's about to take you into U.S. airspace, and you're in the airport coming from a different country, and you see that Statue of Liberty? You see that Statue of Liberty? It'll make you shift the way people move to get there. You'll see people standing in line with all kind of bags, and all you need is your passport, and it's your portion. You can come right this way. And somebody's, welcome back to the U.S. Welcome back to the U.S. Welcome back to the U.S. And it's something about walking through it like that. You're like, whoa, a lot of people want to get here. Many of us that's here don't appreciate it because we've never been outside of it. But if you've ever been outside and you're able to come back in, you'll give God praise. One of the things you give him praise for is the fact that in America, a lot of diseases and viruses that other nations have to deal with, you don't even have to worry about. When I was a kid, many children came up with measles and mumps. Some kids don't even understand what a mump is. But your throat right here will swell up in the morning. Mumps, they called it. You don't hear about leprosy big time in America. But if you went to Lagos, Nigeria, it will shock you when you see people with no limbs. They still praising, though. Still giving God the glory. You ever fly into Port-au-Prince, it'll shock you. It'll just shock you, man. You haven't seen that kind of poverty in your life. I took a handful of candy and I gave it to these children, and it just took off running like at 1,000 miles an hour, because another 1,000 were following them wanting to taste it for the first time. You've never seen that kind of desperation, the things that we complain about. Other people would just walk over. And that's why when they get into America and get a chance to try it, man, they don't want to leave it, and they become very successful. Well, we have a portion. See, certain things have been set aside. You don't understand your portion until someone tries to take it away. But I want you to say within yourself, healing is my portion. Healing is my portion. Yes, right. Healing is my portion. When I look at 1 Peter chapter 2, think about portion now. Jesus bore our sins. In other words, sin creates a need for punishment. But he bore our sins in his body. He put his sins in our sins in his body on the cross or on the tree. That we might die to sin. He didn't put sin on the cross that we might live for sin. But he put sin on the cross that we might die to sin. In other words, you got to see yourself being nailed there as well. You're able to live now, but sin needs to stay on the cross. We got to live for righteousness, live for right wiseness, live for wise decisionness. It says, by his wounds, by his stripes, we have been healed. Past tense. In other words, he paid the penalty. He's tying sin to and wounds to healing. He took it all on the tree for us. And vicariously, we need to come down, receive imputed righteousness. So now we can walk in a benefit called healing. Saying healing is my inheritance. Right, right. In verse 25, for you were like sheep. You were like sheep that had no shepherd, going astray. I don't know who I am. I can eat over here. I can over there because I don't have a pasture. I guess I'll connect with you and I'll connect with you because I don't have a pasture. And I don't have a pastor and I don't have a bishop. So I act like I don't know nothing about righteousness, nothing about nobody. Just doing what I do. That's how you were. Look at the scripture now. Going astray. But now you have returned. Say, I have returned.
I have returned.
That means I repented. I returned not to a bishop, but to the shepherd. That's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ our Lord, and overseer, the one that watches over your souls. So I returned. He didn't have to go and search for me. He paid the penalty. I return because I understand what he did. I believe Peter read David and put it in practical terms because David said a few thousand years before that, the Lord, well, wish I can preach that, is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. How many shepherds do you have? The Lord is my shepherd. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. So no believer should be looking to another religion, looking to another substance, looking to another field or pasture to find your sustenance, looking to horoscopes or looking to crystals or looking to associations to find oneness. For the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want for anything. And then he makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside the still waters. You know it. He guides my life. I like verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Death, he bore on the cross. Sickness, he bore on the cross. Though I walk through the shadow of these things in narrow corridors, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff gives me comfort. God ain't just trying to put a blanket on you. He correct us too. That's why you want to go to churches where you can sit in the loft and nobody say nothing to you. But you better get to a truth reveal where somebody pointing at you. Just like when you get in the army, man, there's this sign of a man, right? Uncle Sam. You may be one. You may be useful. Well, that's how I am today as your preacher. You know better.
Why are you in that pasture when you should be here? What are you feeding on? You could be useful. Get back. You've already gone through basic training. There's some stuff you already know. Get yourself together. You've been inducted into a new army. I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and staff comforts me. And then you prepare a table. Prepare a table before me in the presence of conflicts and sickness. I didn't feel good last week, and I'm getting my voice back, and I'm about 85-90%. But I'm getting it back. I'm bouncing back. And bouncing back with strength. But I was thinking about my portion, and healing is my portion, so no devil can tell me that healing isn't mine. And you need to say it, but I don't care what you're experiencing. I got this message while I'm going through something. Healing today is mine. You need to say the same thing. Every day I'm getting stronger. You see me drain and still preach. I don't like it, but that's my call. And obviously he wants you to see me do what I do when I go through what I go through. Because if it was left up to me, I'll be 6'4", just like this, with long hair, screw my ass. I would be the baddest bishop ever. I would be able to sing, preach, play organ, all of it. But that's not how he made me. I have to point you to the perfect one. Don't stop with me. Get to him. He is your shepherd. I'm just a mouthpiece. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Healing is our portion. Say that with me. Healing is my portion. I believe this phrase has been used multiple times, millions of times, by believers in the context of charismatic, particularly in charismatic circles and Pentecostal traditions. Healing is my portion. I was listening to Jesse Duplantis, and he believed in healing. He still believes in it. It's our portion. It is expressing the belief that God is a God that wants to heal. It is his will for us to be healed. Said, it is the will of God for us to walk in healing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so in Pentecostal circles, Pentecostal and charismatic circles, this should not be a strange phenomenon. Because we pronounce healing in Jesus' name. And I do have some charisma background. And I have Pentecostal background. And so I will never back away from speaking in tongues. And I will never back away from the gifts and the moving of the Spirit of God. I don't care who it makes uncomfortable. I do believe that things should be done decently and in order. But we will never downplay what the scripture says. I have people that are criticizing now any reading of the scripture. There are people who are monitoring our services and say I'm wrong for coming out of the Bible. Let me tell you something right now. If you ever want to see me lose my mind up in here, start messing with this word that I preach. I'm coming right out of the scripture. Anybody saying that the Bible is out of date, it is not of God, you already know where that comes from, right? It's straight from the pit of hell. And for all of you that never went to college, but you think you're smart, listen at the people who never studied any theology, but they got the gift of gab, and you're listening to them on Facebook tell you this is a white man's religion. If you want to believe that foolishness, believe it. But the reason I preach it is because the word is alive and it changed my life. And if you get with it, it will change your life. 2.4 billion Christians around the world. 2.4 believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and resurrected. 2.4 billion. All of us crazy? Well, call us all crazy. It is the largest religion in the world. So the largest religion in the world has been fooled based on what? Because we believe the word? Who can make 2.4 believe that and work with it, come to church every week, tithe, give God praise, forgive enemies, move toward righteousness, and all of a sudden you write and you don't give nothing? Something is pushing me. Something is telling me to go ahead. Something is telling me you're saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit. Something is telling me to take the word and put it into practice. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Why would I listen to somebody else that don't have no word? The next largest religion is Islam. 1.8 billion around the world. Which started after. It started after Christianity. You believe 1.8 believe Muhammad. Number two religion around the world. And much of it honors the first five books of Moses. I want y'all to understand something here. The problem is that when God was speaking to Abraham, he said to him, though you have an Ishmael, my covenant is not with him.
Oh my God.
My covenant is with Isaac, and he will be born from a woman who can't get pregnant. But about a year from now, she's going to bear a son, and she's 90 years old. So nobody can give any praise about how much power they got. I'm going to wait until she's past childbearing age. And I'm going to wait until the man can't do it no more. And then I'm going to let them produce a child. Man, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. And I'm going to put my covenant. I gave a promise to Ishmael, but I'm going to make a covenant with Isaac. Glory to God. And from him, all nations will be blessed. Abraham said, but you know what? My son, Ishmael, is here. I will bless him. But my covenant is not with him. It's right there in the text that every Islamic person has to read. 1.8 billion. The next largest religion is what we call, not Buddhists, Hindus. 1.4 billion Hindus around the world. And the fourth, Hindus, and then the fourth is a Buddhist, 500 million. And then the fifth is Judaism, 15 million. And it's the oldest, 15 million, right out of Jerusalem, right out of Israel. And you're listening to people who have no history, couldn't tell you what I just told you, tell you that the Bible is off. It's been written by over a 1600 year period by 14 different authors, and they don't clash. You tell me anywhere where any literature has been constructed like that. It's been stripped. It's been tattered, torn. Well, it was interpreted by men. No, it was interpreted by the Holy Ghost as he moved men. Oh my God. You try to put a book together over a 1600 year period with 40 different authors and see how far you go. See if you'll get 2.8 billion today following it. You can't get two people to listen to you.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Healing Today is Mine, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
Ladies, join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School every Sunday at 10 a.m. Take the next step in your faith. The discipleship course will help you grow stronger, go deeper, and get rooted in Christ. Classes start Monday, September 15th. Sign up today. Use the TR app, website, or scan the QR code in the foyer. Attention, new believers. Registration is now open for the Believers Enrichment Spiritual Training Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or by scanning the QR code in the foyer.
Stay in the loop with Truth Revealed. Text YES to 87447 to receive updates, announcements, tag of prayers, and event information sent directly to your phone. Don't miss a moment. Stay connected with all that's happening at Truth Revealed.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
When you pray for a spiritual awakening, you may be in for a fight. Billy Graham knew that firsthand.
Awakenings always stir the devil up. I sense it in every crusade I conduct.
That may sound a little disheartening, but he goes on to share what you can do to take on Satan.
The awakenings seemingly never occur without dedicated people, with an emphasis on prayer and an emphasis on Scripture. So much could happen in this country if we could see a great spiritual awakening. But it's not going to come by organization alone and great publicity. It's got to be the Spirit of God.
You can be the one to start a spiritual awakening in your community, and we'd love to help. Stop by our website. You'll find resources there to help deepen your faith and how to share Jesus Christ with others. That's findpeacewithgod.net. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.